Welcome to Through the Word, leading you on a journey through the entire Bible, one chapter at a time. Today, Chris Langham guides us through the New Testament book of Revelation. Now to Pastor Chris.
Revelation 22, everyone. We made it. The last chapter. I have to apologize if the audio sounds a little different. I'm on the road today, so you might hear the road noise. Family road trip. Finally going to Yellowstone for the first time. And there's something fitting about the open road for this chapter. I love gazing out at the wide open spaces in the southwest and the great mountains of the Rockies. It always stirs something in me. Gentle but definite longing for some other place. It's a funny feeling, really. Somewhere between longing to get away and yearning for home. Well, whatever it is, it fits well today. Revelation 22 gives me that same sort of feeling. It is what we've never imagined before and what we've always wanted, but all at the same time. We left off at the end with God making a brand new beginning, all things new, a new heaven, new earth, and one beautiful new city in particular, Jerusalem, recreated. John saw the great city come down out of heaven, down to the new earth. It is beautiful and it's huge. That's where we join John again. As before, I won't be able to answer every question about this new city, but I will certainly enjoy a stroll down the main street together. So join me, won't you? Chapter 22, verse 1. Then the angel showed me the river of the water of life, as clear as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb down the middle of the great street of the city. So right there in the heart of the city, flowing down the middle of the main road, the river of the water of life. I love a city built on a river. But then something always happens to a river when you build a city on it. It gets gross. But this one is the river of the water of life, clear as crystal. And its source is the throne of God. When the source is pure, the river is pure. Now every human being understands that water is necessary for life. But you remember the story when Jesus met the woman at the well. She had water to drink, it kept her alive, but it didn't fully satisfy. So Jesus offered her living water. Later on, Jesus called to anyone who thirsts and made a bold and open offer to come to him and find rivers of living water, which the Bible says is the Holy Spirit. Now here in the great city, in the eternal Jerusalem, the main river flows with the water of life. Does that mean the Holy Spirit is in it? I don't know, but I'm getting thirsty. And then back in verse 2, on each side of the river stood the tree of life, bearing 12 crops of fruit, yielding its fruit every month, and the leaves of the tree are for the healing of the nations. Now the tree of life brings us right back to the Garden of Eden, and the description here is either multiple trees on either side of the river, or a single tree that spans the river. Either way, the roots get their nutrients from the water of life. I love fruit. Fruit is amazing to me. Crispy green apple, perfect peach, and it's good for me, healing and energy. Now the tree of life here has 12 crops, could be 12 different fruit off the same tree, and it's faithful every month. And the word healing here means life-giving, energizing, and invigorating. Now I don't know how it works exactly, but I don't think it's some kind of magic tree. I don't imagine God suddenly changing his MO and skipping the science part. He created it. I think in the new heaven, God steps up his game. Then verse 3, no longer will there be any curse. Now stop right there. Catch that. No longer any curse. The curse, the results of sin. Genesis 3, the curse, the cause of all frustration, the reason why something always goes wrong. The thorns and weeds and bugs in the machine that make all our work difficult. Do you know that? Do you know that the curse is the reason it goes wrong? The reason work is frustrating. Why? Because God cursed the world when man sinned. And I believe God did it to make man hope, to keep us from being satisfied with anything here, and make us long for another place, a place with no more curse. Back in verse 3, the throne of God and of the Lamb will be in the city, and his servants will serve him. They will see his face, and his name will be on their foreheads. There will be no more night. They will not need the light of a lamp or the light of the sun, for the Lord God will give them light, and they will reign forever and ever. And with that, we close the picture of the new city. That's all the glimpse we get. But the book isn't over just yet. The angel who gave the tour speaks up in verse 6. These words are trustworthy and true. And then Jesus speaks up. Look, I am coming soon. Blessed is the one who keeps the words of the prophecy written in this scroll. The book began with a blessing for anyone who reads it. Now there is another one for those who keep it. Hold on to it. Don't forget it. Then the angel tells John in verse 10, "Do not seal up the words of the prophecy of this scroll, because the time is near." In other words, don't forget Revelation. Don't keep it from people. God's people need to know this book. We need the reality of eternity always on our minds. And in verse 11, something interesting. Let the one who does wrong continue to do wrong. Let the vile person continue to be vile. Let the one who does right continue to do right. And let the holy person continue to be holy. So what does that mean? Let them continue. You see, this is the story of the very end. But in a word to you and I today, the angel says, allow each one to continue, to prove their character. For now, let it go. God will judge in the end. And because God gives it time, allows it to be proven, there will be no argument in the last day that his judgment is just. Let it be. God will judge. And then Jesus speaks up again in verse 12. Now, as you read this one, it's as if Jesus grabs the pen for the first time in the entire Bible, here in the very last chapter, to speak directly to the reader, to us. Look, I am coming soon. My reward is with me, and I will give to each person according to what they have done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. This is a clear and direct claim to be God, and he calls us to look to his coming, and to the reward he brings. I believe that we are wired to long for the reward, and Jesus carries the only one that lasts. Then in verse 14, blessed are those who wash their robes, that they may have the right to the tree of life and may go through the gates into the city. Outside are the dogs. Now in the Bible, dogs refers to legalists, the self-righteous, judgmental Christian hypocrites. Outside are the dogs, those who practice magic arts, the sexually immoral, the murderers, the idolaters, and everyone who loves and practices falsehood. And then it's as if Jesus signs the letter personally. I, Jesus, have sent my angel to give you this testimony for the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, and the bright morning star. And then to follow it, another speaks up. It is the Holy Spirit, along with the bride. That's every Christian together, and they make an invitation to anyone and everyone who reads this. The Spirit and the bride say, come. And let anyone who hears say, come. Let the one who is thirsty come. And let the one who wishes take the free gift of the water of life. The invitation is for anyone who thirsts, who longs for that something, that water of life. And the gift is free. Jesus paid the price. Listen, if you started listening to this thing out of curiosity, this call is for you. You know, it's funny. The reason I'm going to Yellowstone, I kept thinking about it. And every time I'd mention it to someone, as soon as I got to the word Yellowstone, they'd stop me. Dude, you gotta go. Seriously. It's like the most beautiful place on the planet. Every time. It was like they were ready to go back that instant, and they wanted me to go. Like, as a fellow human being on planet Earth, I want you to be there. And here in this chapter, that is exactly how I feel reading about heaven and eternity. First, I want to go. I really want to go. But then, I'm hit so hard. I want you to go. I want everyone to go. As a fellow human being on this planet, I say to you, please go. I tell you what, when we all get there, meet me at the base of the Tree of Life. The first Thursday, 2 o'clock, we'll all meet up. I want to see you there. The book ends with a stark warning. Don't add and don't subtract from this book. So please read every word. And then a final word from Jesus. He who testifies to these things says, yes, I am coming soon. And then one from John. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. The grace of the Lord Jesus be with God's people. Amen. And then, one more last word from me. First Thursday, 2 o'clock. Please.
Join us next time on Through the Word as we continue the journey, one chapter at a time. Start your own journey through the Bible with our web and mobile apps at throughtheword.org. Our apps are free, so tell a friend. We're listener-supported, so thanks for giving. Chris Langham is the founder of Through the Word Ministries and pastor of Refuge Long Beach in Long Beach, California. And remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the Word.